Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I want to welcome everyone who may be listening this morning to this early Sunday morning broadcast. I know it's early, but if you're listening and you wish to follow along, I will begin in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I have one verse that I want to read to you this morning and try to speak about the subject that we find introduced in this one verse. 1 John chapter 4, and the verse is verse 19. Listen to what it says here. We love him because he first loved us. Now, John is writing to believers. If you read this epistle, John's first epistle, if you read it, you will see he's writing to believers. So he's saying we, that is those who believe God. We love him, that is we love God, because he, that is God, first loved us. John makes it clear in this verse. It is so clear. All who love God, if they really love God, all who do love God, they love God because God first loved them. Do you see it? That's what he says, isn't it? You can read it. We love him because he first loved us. Notice it does not say we love him, but he loved us first. That's not the word. The word is because. We love him because he first loved us. God's love for anyone. God's love for anyone. Listen, I'm talking about the love of God this morning. That's my subject, the love of God. God's love for anyone demands that they be brought to love God as a result. And that's exactly what John is saying here. We love him because he first loved us. So again, listen to it. God's love for anyone demands that they be brought to love God as a result. The love of God is no flippant subject. I realize that subject today is on placards and billboards and all this kind of thing, but the love of God is serious business. The love of God. Now, before I go into further detail about the love of God, let me first show a few scriptural fundamentals about love, just about love. What I'm going to try to give you here from the scripture is this. Don't turn to Webster's dictionary and try to find what Webster's says love is and then apply that to God. If you want to find out about the love of God and what God says about love, then you turn to his book. And what God says about love is what love really is in God's sight. And truly, that is what matters. Now, let me give you three things. I'll try to be brief on this, but three things before we head into the message in earnest. First of all, here's some things about love from the scripture. Not all love is good. Not all love is good. Listen to what John wrote prior to this in the same epistle, 1 John chapter 2, and look at what it says in verse 15 and 16. Now, listen to this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So clearly, all love is not good, just because something may be termed love. And John does call or say that there is a love, but it's loving the world or the things that are in the world. John says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see it? Not all love is good. Listen to what James wrote. James chapter 4. And listen to what James wrote. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world, that's talking about love. You love your friends. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So clearly, not all love is good. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ himself said. And it's recorded for us by Matthew, and it's found in Matthew chapter 6, and just one verse. One verse concerning what our Lord said is what's traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. And in John chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot, it's an impossibility, ye cannot serve God and mammon. So you see that? Clearly, this book from God clearly teaches us that not all love is good. Not all love is good. But here's another thing, and I don't mean to try to shock you, but this is just the truth of God. I realize it's probably not said much, if any at all, in most so-called churches today, but here's the second thing. Not all hate is evil. Not all hate is evil. Now, I'm not going to deal with that hate that is evil. There is a hate that is evil, but I'm not dealing with that. We're talking about scriptural principles. Not all love is good. That's one. Here's the second one. Not all hate is evil. Listen to Psalm chapter 97. Now, if you wish to try to turn to some of these and read it for yourself, that's fine. But if you don't have time to get there, just listen to what I said. I'm going to read several verses here. Psalm 97 and verse 10. Look at what it says. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Do you see that? Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So here is a command. A command to those that do love the Lord. That is Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Look at Psalm 101. Listen to what it says. Psalm 101, and let's read another verse. Psalm 101 and verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3. Let me make sure I'm right. Well, 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now listen at it. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Do you see that? This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. It's said here, a psalm of David. That man who's a man after God's own heart. And he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. So the scripture's clear. Now, whether you agree with me on this at all, this is what the Bible teaches. Whether you believe what I'm saying or not, doesn't matter. This is what the Bible teaches. Not all love is good, but not all hate is evil. Also, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and the 104th verse. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. That is, through his word, through God's word, through the written word of God, the infallible, inspired, plenary inspired word of God. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate, do you see it? Therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 139. And I give you just a few, but I'm giving you several so that you know this is not just some out of the way passage in some obscure part of the scripture as some men like to talk. Psalm 139. And listen to verse 21. Listen now. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The psalmist did not give this because he thought himself morally or righteously superior to other men. No, look what he says. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Do you see that? Do you hear what's just said? Now, I've given you 1, 2, 3, 4 passages just in the Psalms themselves that lets us know that not all hate is evil. Not all love is good. Here's a third thing. Here's a third thing. As we are all born into this world, and what do I mean by that? I don't mean just your physical birth, but I'm saying that when our father, our daddy Adam, sinned against God in the garden, he spiritually died the day that he ate of that forbidden fruit. And when he spiritually died that day, because God told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when he ate of that fruit, he died. And this scripture, this book of God, is replete with the testimony that he was our representative. He was our federal head. He stood for us in that garden. And when he fell in that garden, we fell with him. That into which he fell, that corrupt state, that sinful state, he was created good. He was created upright. He was very good in God's sight, but he rebelled against God. And the judgment of God for that sin was that he would die spiritually in that day. And therefore, every son and daughter of Adam, which includes all of us, every son or daughter of Adam that is born into this world, we're born with the same heart, the same corruption, the same sinfulness and sins as Adam had after he fell. So as we are all born, we all hate God. Did you know that? And you say, preacher, I don't hate God. Well, God says we do. God says we do. And if you think you don't hate God, then your eyes are blinded, your ears are closed, and your heart is a stony, cold heart of indifference against God. Because this is what God clearly says. Listen to Romans chapter 8. Just read you a few verses. Romans chapter 8. And listen to verse 7, Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind, and that is the mind with which we're born in Adam, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you know what that word enmity means? Sure you do. It means hatred. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh... That's what we are by nature. That's what we are in Adam. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen to John chapter 3. And of course, I know many of you who may be listening to me this morning, you may say, well, I'm familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16. I know you are. A lot of people are. I might say that John 3, 16 is probably one of the most loved verses in the Bible, but it's one of the most misunderstood. Now let's look at what is actually said in John chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now notice already we've seen the word world used about three times, haven't we? For God so loved the world. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, actually four different times. Now, I know there are those who say when it says God so loved the world, that means he loved all men without exception. But you apply that meaning to the word love the world, you apply that meaning, world, that it means everybody without exception, to every time that word world is used, and it will confound you, because if you have any reality in your mind at all, you realize it ain't so. Look, let's read it that way. Let's read it the way some people say that it says it. It don't say it, but they say it says it. For God so loved everybody without exception. Okay? For God so loved everybody without exception, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Even if that were the meaning, if God did love everybody without exception, clearly God Almighty says only those who believe. Only those who believe. But then look, for God sent not his Son into all without exception. Is that the meaning of the word? No, it can't be. It means this creation. It means he came to this world. That's the cosmos, specifically to this earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that, now look at it. Now we're going to get to what I'm saying. I'm saying to you that as we're all born into this world, we all hate God. And look at what it says. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That is, the person who believes on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And look at it. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that's Christ, who he was, what he did, what he taught. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And look, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light. Do you see it? This is exactly what God says about us. This is what God declares us to be by nature. God says we hate him. And if you don't see it, then God's not opened your eyes to that fact yet, to that truth yet. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So those three things. I want to establish those three things. First, not all love is good. Not all hate is evil. And all of us, without exception, as we're born into this world, we all hate God. Now, we clearly, in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, clearly we see a difference in some people, don't we? Specifically in those verses 19, 20, and 21. Now, here's the question. It says some hate the light. They don't come to the light. Some do. Some do truth and come to the light. So what is the difference? Is that difference in them? Is that difference in them naturally? Paul makes it clear. Romans chapter 9, or chapter 3, verses 9 through 18 makes it clear. Jew or Gentile, bond free, rich, poor, male or female, black or white, it does not matter. It does not matter. We prove before that we're all under sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. So even those spoken of by Christ in John 3 and verse 21, those who do truth and come to the light, by nature, that was not them. By nature, they're just like everybody else. They're not righteous. They don't do good. They don't understand. They don't seek after God. Their mouth's full of cursing and bitterness. That's all of us by nature. So the question is, what's the difference? What's the difference? You see, how does this difference ever take place? Well, let's go back to my text. 1 John chapter 4. Now think about it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Do you see it? We love him because he first loved us. We, that is those who do love God, we are never the cause. Look at what John had just previously said, 1 John 4 and verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you see that? You see, God is always and only the sufficient cause of such a change in people. God is. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to what God writes, recorded by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. Listen to what it says. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. This is not that circumcision of male children in the flesh. This is a different kind of circumcision. A circumcision, yes, but a different kind. A more vital kind, an absolutely vital kind. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God. Why? Because we don't by nature. We can't by nature. We will not by nature. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And someone says, but preacher, that's an Old Testament. That's the book of Moses. That's Deuteronomy. That was written to Jews. Yes, it was. You're right on that. But do you know who a Jew really is? Now, hear me now. Maybe you've never heard this said before. But do you know who a Jew really is? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote about it. And the Apostle Paul was a born and bred Jew in the flesh. Born and bred Jew in the flesh. But listen to what he says about this circumcision God talks about. Listen to what he wrote. Romans chapter 2, and listen to what it says, verse 28. Listen to it. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Yes, that was written to the Jews. God will circumcise your heart. He'll circumcise the heart of your seed, that you'll love the Lord with all your heart. But who's he talking to? True Jews. Those who are actually circumcised by God in the heart. And unless God does that work for you, unless God does that work for me, we will never love God as God is. But, you see, I know men reject this. I know this is not what's being taught today, but Antichrist religion is rampant, especially in our country and I'm sure all throughout the world, in all scripture. It is God who must circumcise the heart. You hear what I'm saying? It is God who must circumcise the heart. Listen to this one, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. It is God who must circumcise the heart. Man should circumcise his heart, but he cannot. Listen to this. It's in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? It's rhetorical. No one can. This work of God circumcising the heart so that you will and can love God is a work of God. He does it as his own sovereign will and discretion. Any love for God, all love for God, true love for God. You want to hear what's said about that? Listen to what Christ said. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 15. Just a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7, 8, and 9. This is what it says. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias, or that is Isaiah of the Old Testament. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias the prophet, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So again, any and all love for God, as God is, has God, must have God as its infallible cause. We love him. If I do, we love him because he first loved us. Now hear me now. Listen to this. I know in this day and age, it is taught that God loves everyone without exception. That is just not so. This book does not teach such a heinous and blasphemous doctrine. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he loves, he will correct. You can find that in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. And you can find that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke, that is, I correct them, I tell them where they're wrong, and I chasten. That means to bring them back around. To bring them back around. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says that God chastens his people. Let me just read that one. Hebrews chapter 12. I think I did say 12. Hebrews 12. Listen to what it says. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, that's all the sons of God are, then are ye, now look what that says, then are ye bastards. You're illegitimate. This birth you claim to have from God, the circumcision you claim to have from God, it's not real. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Any kind of teaching that says that God loves someone and that person will ultimately perish in hell is damnable, heretical doctrine. Away with that heretical, prostituted, useless, universal love of God. God does not love all things, and God does not love all men and women, and that is just so. As a matter of fact, God does not love all men without exception, because God said so. The Apostle Paul repeated it in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 16, and Paul put it this way. This is what God said. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And it means just what it said. God showed Jacob mercy and grace. God had rejected Esau. Do you believe God owes you his love? There's a question for you, isn't it? You see, this is why men teach God loves everybody. Not because this book says so. No, sir. But because they believe everybody deserves the love of God. And we do not. Do you believe God owes you his love? Then you are deceived if you believe that. Are you amazed that God would love anyone? Are you amazed that God would love anyone? Has God given you a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of what you are down in here? What you are up in here? Has God given you even a little sight of that? Then this maybe there's hope for you. Do you love Christ? Do you love God as he is revealed in Scripture? And I have tried by the, I pray by the Spirit's help to clearly, succinctly set before you this morning the truth of God about love, some things about love from God's book. So I ask you, do you love God? Do you love Christ as he's revealed in this Scripture? And if you say, well, preacher, what you've been saying, if that is true, then I don't love God and I hate God, then you go on your own way. And one day you will eat of the fruit of your own doings. But I tell you this, if you can say, you know what? I think I see a little bit about who God really is. I think I see a little bit about how corrupt I am. And God don't owe me his love. His love is a special thing that's in his Son. Then if that's so, listen to what Christ prayed. And we have here a prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed these words. John chapter 17, they're recorded. These words spake Jesus. Lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Here it is. He's going to define it. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you believe the only true God? That God that I've testified to from this book this morning, I pray God lays hold of you and makes you to do so, and you'll be willing to do so. So again, that's the love of God. That's the truth of Scripture about God's love. Now I would remind you, on this same channel, WVVACW at 12 noon, you can have listen to another message from Sovereign Grace Chapel.